What's up, everyone? Welcome back to the Progressive Gentleman Podcast. We are your hosts, Matt and Dan, and as always, we thank you for taking the time to listen to us nerd out about music. On this episode, it's going to be the second installment of our concert review series. We recently attended the Delta Sleep Cara Cara show at the Hard Rock Cafe in Pittsburgh, PA. And once again, we're joined by Matt's lovely wife, Colleen, who attended the show with us.
Hey, everyone. Yeah, thanks for having me back on with you guys.
It's good to have you back. My wife, Stephanie, unfortunately had to work. She missed the show, so she will not be on today's episode with us, but I'm sure she'll listen. So hi, Stephanie. We miss you.
Hi, Stephanie.
We miss you, and we hope that you can join us next time.
Absolutely. So let's get right into this review here, starting with the opener, a local band from Pittsburgh called Anton Ego. Matt, what'd you think?
I really liked them. They were definitely nervous in the show. It seemed like it was the biggest crowd that they had had. So I kind of appreciated the like very human aspect. This like, he kind of expressed how nervous he was and stuff. The guitarist, and I thought they were really funny and had a good stage presence. And their music is awesome. Just the instrumental, very like prog rocky. Kind of like Russian Circles, but not as like doomy sounding. I like them a lot. I listened to them a bit before the show, and I don't know the song names. I just kind of put them on shuffle, so I don't know them well enough yet. But it's definitely a band that I'll be listening to periodically and checking out, and I'm excited to see them grow and in the Pittsburgh area.
Yeah, I really think they have potential. They have one EP on Spotify. It's called Six Set. I think it's like a collection of five songs. I think that's really all, you know, that we had exposure to, because I think that's all that exists out there. If there's more, you know, we definitely want to discover it. But yeah, I agree. I think, you know, as far as local bands goes, I mean, we're fortunate in the Pittsburgh area. We have had some pretty solid local bands. I mean, Code Orange is from Pittsburgh.
Code Orange.
Yeah, I mean they had a solid start in this area. There's another band called Nefel, which is you know, they're kind of up and coming. I've seen them open for Polyphia before, and you know, there's other bands that are in this area that are really taking off. Space Weather is in here, Haven State. So a lot of good small bands that are coming up in the prog scene here. But Anton Ego might be my favorite, even though I've just recently discovered them. They give me Covet vibes a lot.
Yeah.
Some Chon.
Some of that as well.
Yeah, but their set was awesome. Like you said, there were nerves. You could tell a little bit, but I thought, you know, they kind of overcame that pretty well and put on a great show.
Yeah, I thought even though they, you know, they definitely sounded a little nervous when they were kind of talking to the crowd and everything, it did not come through in their music. I thought they did an awesome job, and I actually didn't listen to them at all before the show, so I really went in with zero expectations, and I thought they were really, really good. I was kind of blown away a little bit by how good they were, and I hope that they continue to put out music and that they, you know, get bigger so that we can continue to enjoy music by them.
Yeah, and as a person who likes to pretend to be a musician myself, I know how difficult it is to play, you know, some of the stuff that they were playing on stage, you know, and if you're doing that in front of a lot of people and, you know, it's, you got those nerves going, like, I can't even play that kind of stuff in my bedroom, let alone in front of a bunch of people, so I have a lot of respect for the people who do that, and yeah, I'm excited to see what the future holds for them, but
yeah, I definitely will, we'll attend some more of their shows if they're in the area.
Yeah, we're fortunate they're local, so we'll have opportunities for sure.
Yeah, and I think that's another good thing that I kind of like about the crowd that listens to rock or metal music, is everyone was very accepting of them and, you know, willing to listen to a smaller local band and was kind of, you know, very supportive of them even though they were a little bit nervous. So I thought it was great.
Yeah, and we did share something on our page about them. We started a sort of a new post series on our Instagram called like Shout Out Saturday. They were our first band for that. So if you've not heard from them, jump on our Instagram. There's links. Check them out. They're pretty great.
Yeah, definitely.
So moving on. So the next band to play was also a local band. They were called Wasted Space. Again, from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Matt, what'd you think?
This band, I liked some of the songs. They were definitely different from the rest of the lineup, with all the bands kind of being prog rock, and then they being just kind of like straight punk band. Wasn't quite what I had expected with the lineup. I mean, it was nice to kind of change up the flow, I think. I enjoyed like the, you know, the fast paced punk nature of it. But I think just with the other bands, it didn't flow as well, like as the other bands with their genre. And it kind of, it almost felt disjointed a little. But they were very entertaining, a group, and, you know, they're very energetic as well. The one guitarist just like got down off the stage and ran through the crowd and like ran a loop around the venue and stuff. So like, that was kind of funny.
I forgot that happened. That's funny.
Yeah. Yeah. It was pretty funny.
I think another thing just to interject there, that I liked about, you know, sort of local bands supporting local bands, that whole band was in the crowd for Anton Ego as well before they took the stage. So
mm-hmm.
I thought it's kind of cool to see, you know, local bands supporting each other. That's always cool to see. So just wanted to throw that out there. Sorry for jumping in there.
You're fine. Yeah. It's cool to see that, like, and that was the same thing with Anton Ego too. Like, I saw them in the crowd the whole time. And I know they were all like excited to be playing with Delta Sleep and stuff. It was just kind of cool that everybody was there to support each other. And it was just like a very kind of like welcoming atmosphere. And I thought that was pretty cool.
And Delta Sleep was also out there checking out the sets from the local bands as well. So I thought, just the support in the scene in general is pretty cool.
Yeah. They, I definitely agree that it's just so nice to see all the different bands kind of supporting each other, even, you know, Delta Sleep being the headliner and, you know, a bigger band, and they were, you know, standing out there watching the smaller local bands. And, I thought that was really nice. And, I'm sure we'll talk about this a little more when we get to Delta Sleep, but we actually talked to their, drummer for a little while, and he mentioned that he really enjoys watching the local bands for the different places that they go. So, I thought that was really cool. I also had never listened to, Wasted Space before the show. So again, I kind of went in with no expectations, but I was a little thrown off by the punk nature of their music, especially after hearing Anton Ego and knowing what kind of music Cara Cara and Delta Sleep both have. I was kind of like, huh, this is a weird mix to throw in here. And, you know, it definitely was not my favorite of the bands that played, but I still have just a lot of respect for any musician and anyone who can not only play music, but also get up in front of a crowd of people and put on a performance. That's always very impressive. So kudos to them.
It was cool too. That was just back to the supporting each other thing too. The one guitarist from Wasted Space had a string bust on her, and the guitarist from Anton Ego actually brought his guitar out so that they could finish their set, which was really cool to see. I mean, some of these local bands, they only have one guitar, you know, they're not touring musicians with a truck full of guitars that when a string breaks, you know, a guitar tech brings them a new one out. So it was cool to see that as well.
Yeah. They were like really on the ball with it. Like, as soon as it happened, like, can I get another guitar? And then, then
the guitarist from Anton Ego just comes jogging out of the green room with his guitar.
He's like, I got you. And, you know, just like hands her the guitar, and then they just keep going and stuff. I did like they covered, was it Basket Case by Green Day that they covered? It was a Green Day song.
It was a Green Day song.
I think it was Basket Case.
I can't remember which song it was, but I did appreciate the Green Day cover.
Yeah, that was cool. And the actual vocalist of the band didn't even sing for it either. It was the guitarist whose string broke.
Yeah, yeah.
Who, while playing on a guitar that they were not familiar with, also sang when they're not normally singing while playing guitar, a cover song. So it was cool to see. I respected that for sure. I mean,
yeah, they're kind of,
again, as a person who pretends to be a musician, I also know how difficult it can be to play guitar and sing at the same time. And then whenever it's on a guitar that you're not familiar with, I just assume that increases the difficulty a good bit. So
yeah,
respect to them for that as well.
Like yeah, driving a car that you're not used to driving.
Yeah, in like a very frustrating, like scary situation.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's nuts. But yeah, you know, kudos to them. They put on a good show. And
just speaking of everyone supporting each other, I also just really liked that the band was entirely made up of trans people, and just the fact... Oh, it wasn't entirely?
The guitar.
The one guitarist was not.
Yeah.
I apologize.
But regardless,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but even, you know, I think even as accepting as I think the people that listen to this kind of music generally are, I think even, you know, 10 years ago, it might have been much harder for, you know, band members of the LGBTQIA plus community to come up and play and be so accepted. And I think that, you know, we definitely have our issues in the world, but I think that just kind of shows how far we've all come, that they were able to play and, you know, be accepted and for who they are, and everyone could just enjoy their music. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah, 100%. It's nice that the progressive music community is also a relatively progressive community. So it's good to see.
Progressive sure. In more ways than one.
True to the name.
But moving on to our first, main build band. These are the two bands, Delta Sleep and Cara Cara, are the two bands that are actually touring around the U.S. Along with support from local bands. So we'll talk about Cara Cara a little bit, out of Philly, PA, which is close to us as well. And Matt, what'd you think about them?
I really enjoyed them. I actually had stumbled on them through the, you know, you may also like on Spotify a while ago and listened to them. And I kind of forgot that I had listened to them. So I went to check them out before the show again, just, you know, searched them and started playing song. And I was able to sing along with them. Like, how do I know this song? It's like, it's not a cover. And realized, oh, I listened to them like a couple months ago, and I really enjoy them. I think they put on an awesome show too, which was cool. And they seem like a bigger band than they are, kind of the with their stage presence and their songs. Honestly, like, it's something I could for sure see on like Alt Nation or something like that. So, and I think would be deserving of. I think my favorite song of theirs was Better. But they have a lot of good songs off of their new album. They played a couple of them,
Is Better off their new record?
I don't think so. I think I think it might not be off an EP.
Okay. But yeah, I had not heard of them leading up to this tour. Delta Sleep is one of my favorite bands right now. As I've said in multiple podcasts. So whenever I saw that they were touring, I immediately went and checked them out. And I guess the songs I kind of listened to initially didn't really resonate with me. I got a lot of Circa Survive vibes. I got a lot of just the Anthony Green Project's old Say Ocean, which is how that's pronounced, which ruined my entire, like... I used to listen to them and refer to them as Seosin.
Wait, what?
Right? Isn't that crazy?
Wow.
We can totally tangent there I'm probably changing somebody else's life right now, too. Because
I was today years old when I found that out.
So I watched this this video. It had to have been on YouTube or maybe it popped up on TikTok. I have no idea. Where this guy was just talking about them and then, yeah, said referred to them as Seosin. And I was like, that's not real. And then so I researched it more, and yeah, that's real. That's how it's supposed to be pronounced, is Say Ocean.
Wow. I feel like it's the that whole GIF thing where the creator says it's GIF, but he's wrong.
Yeah, honestly, I hope it's just a big joke, and then like later on I find out that I was wrong. But yeah, apparently that's how it's supposed to be pronounced, which is why I tried to do it correctly right now, but... you know what? It's Seosin. So
yeah, you just threw my whole high school years upside down.
I reject that reality and substitute my own.
Exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, I got Seosin vibes. Just Anthony Green vibes, really. So, and I was never a big fan of Circa Survive. I like some of their stuff now. They're like double EP or double album release that they did last year was actually pretty cool. And I did like some songs off of that. If you listen to our playlist at all that we put together, we did link that at some point on our Instagram.
Yeah, definitely go check that out.
But there's a couple songs off that EP on there, which is very good. I enjoy that. But anyways, so I guess I didn't vibe with it. And then whenever I went to the show, coming full circle back to where I started this point, I was pleasantly surprised. I ended up buying both of their records on vinyl while I was there, and I went back after the show and listened to like the recorded versions of the set list and still vibed with it. It wasn't just a live thing. Sometimes it's like that where you'll connect with a band live but not as much recorded. So I do enjoy them now. I am a fan. I became a fan at the show. So that's kind of cool. That doesn't happen too often anymore because I've listened to too many bands that it's kind of tough. But that was nice.
Yeah, I really enjoyed Cara Cara, even though I can't say their name without saying Cara Cara Naval Oranges. it just kind of flows. I'd be very interested to know where the name Cara Cara came from, but yeah, I really enjoyed them a lot. I listened to them quite a bit before the show and was pretty excited when, you know, I started listening to them and everything. And their newest album, New Preoccupations, actually technically was not released yet on the day that we went to the concert. I think they said it was going to be released the next day. Is that right? Was it the next
day? That is right. Yeah, they were joking, saying nobody go home and like upload this early or whatever so people can't steal it.
Yeah, a whole like hour early because the concert ended at like 11 and it was going to be released at midnight. But I am happy to say that I bought the first New Preoccupations album ever sold, and the band members were kind enough to sign it for me. So
they even signed it, first copy ever sold, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, so no one can have it. I'm hanging on to that original copy.
We can discuss pricing. Someone might be able to have it. We'll talk.
No, it's DM mine. Us. It's mine. Don't be going trying to sell my album, Dan. That's not cool.
I'm sorry. I'll share the profits with you, though.
Share the profits for selling her property.
You'd have to come into my house and steal it and then sell it.
I do know where you live.
Especially since you're currently in my house. So
that is true.
I'll have to look for it after you leave, make sure it didn't go missing. But I also, I believe it was the bassist who wasn't their normal, in their band normally, is that
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they had a sub in.
Yeah, and he did a great job, and for the fact that he only practiced with the band very minimally before they actually went on, I thought that was really impressive. And honestly, if they hadn't said, I never would have known that he wasn't the bassist with the band. So I thought he did a great job.
Yeah, there was a lot of that kind of situation with the string breaking for Wasted Space, and then Cara Cara didn't have their bassist, and then Delta Sleep had some audio issues too. Yeah. So, but everybody kind of persevered, and they all worked together, and like the crowd was all supportive, and I think overall like the show was pretty awesome.
Yeah, we can talk about the Delta Sleep audio situation whenever we say. Well, I guess we're kind of transitioning here. Do you guys have anything else to say about Cara Cara before we move on?
No, we're good, I think.
Awesome. Good to move on.
Well, let's move on to a band that's quickly become a favorite of the podcast, especially myself, but I think pretty much everybody in this group is a big fan. Delta Sleep. I've been listening to them for a while, and I discovered them, honestly, through kind of how we all discover music these days, just the like, you know, bands you might like or whatever on Spotify.
Yeah.
I think it was because I was listening to, I don't know, like Deer Hunter or something. I mean, they're not really that similar, but just prog rock in general. I was trying to discover more of it because, as I've stated many times, my tastes have kind of started to change more to like the prog rock side of things, math rock side of things. And it was right around, it was before Ghost City came out, which is an album and an EP ago, it doesn't matter. a song called Spy Dolphin, which is pretty awesome. And I was like, wow, this is pretty great. And right after that, Ghost City dropped. And so I got to listen to like a full record as it was released. And was a huge fan of that record, and I've been a fan ever since. And honestly, their most recent record, Spring Island, might be like one of my top 10 records of all time right now, or period. I don't know. It's tough to yeah. say that with how many great albums in this genre and just, you know, exist, but I listened to that album probably more than most humans.
Yeah, that album is really good. It is one that I find from last year's album releases that I'm regularly going back to. I mean, basically any of my top five, but I feel like Spring Island has that sound that it kind of works for pretty much any mood. Like there's, you know, it's feel good, but also it's kind of like got some pep to it that gets you like in a good mood, and but it's also good for just kind of sitting on the porch having a beer and oh, a yeah. warm summer day kind of weather. Like it kind of works for anything, and I do find myself listening to it quite a bit.
Yeah, it was my album of the year last year. I'm sure anybody who listens or follows us knows that, but yeah, I absolutely love that record.
Yeah, I really enjoy Delta Sleep a lot. They're probably coming up there on my top favorite bands. I think they're really accessible for really anyone, which I think is why, like Matt said, it's like anytime we're sitting out on the porch drinking a beer, whether it's just the two of us or we have friends or family over, they're just pretty much, I think, anyone. No matter what type of music people like, they can find something that resonates with them with Delta Sleep. And I think that's really cool. And I just really enjoy them a lot. And I think we ended up buying 3 of their albums while we were at the concert.
I was pushing for them to buy all of them, but I've, yeah. honestly, and that's another thing to say too, is I've never seen a band roll up on tour with every single one of their records on vinyl for sale at the merch table. I've never seen that.
Yeah, I was so excited when I saw that they had a nice supply of vinyl, because I didn't have any of them. And, you know, just kind yeah. of recently in the last like 2 years have, I mean, you showed me Delta Sleep and
yeah.
and stuff. So, you know, just recently kind of stumbled upon them and don't have any of their vinyl. So it was nice to be able to build that collection up quickly.
Yeah, it was funny. I walked up to the merch table and said, "I'll take one of everything."
you did.
that's not a joke. Yeah, I really did. So, yeah, that's also might be the first time I've done that. Here comes. So at some Coheed shows, maybe I've done.
maybe, I was waiting for
maybe
it.
Maybe I've done that before at some Coheed shows, but yeah, never a normal show, I suppose. So that was interesting. I don't know when they're going to come back, you know. That's how I looked at it. I was like, you know, I had tickets to see them a few years ago and didn't go because I actually didn't know who they were at that time. This was right before I discovered them, and I'm kind of kicked myself for that.
Mistakes were made.
Yeah, cuz there was a band called Save Us From the Archon, which is a band from Pittsburgh, and it was supposed to be their last ever show, so that's why I bought tickets. And they ended up dropping off the tour because there was some turbulence there, which is why it was going to be their last show anyways. RIP to them. If you've not listened to them, their music's awesome. Save Us From the Archon. But yeah, I kind of messed up there. So, but yeah, so I was like, when am I going to see them again? I'll take one of everything.
Yeah. You could always just entice them with some Dancing Gnome beer.
That's true. They are big fans of Dancing Gnome Brewery, which is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Dancing Gnome actually does... they did a Ghost City beer, they did a Spy Dolphin, and I think they did a Camp Adventure as well. So they yeah. did 3 Delta Sleep beers, which is pretty cool. And we love beer here as well. So
yeah. You couldn't tell.
Matt's actually wearing a Dancing Gnome shirt yeah, as we speak. I figured he put that on in honor of talking about Delta Sleep today.
It was completely accidental. But...
And 9 times out of 10, I'm wearing a Dancing Gnome hat, and I am not today. So that's... I missed out.
Should have planned that better.
I know. we should have coordinated.
I think the connection between Delta Sleep and Dancing Gnome is so interesting. Like, Delta Sleep is, you know, a smaller band as far as bands are concerned, and they're from England. And then there's this small little brewery in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I would love to know how the connection between the two came to be. Did we find that out at the show?
I've tried to inquire a couple times. Really, all that I can gather is one of the brewers or some of the guys that are associated with Dancing Gnome are just fans.
Mm-hmm.
they're, you know, prog rock, math rock fans and Delta Sleep fans. And then whenever they were coming on that tour, they like linked up and they did the whole beer thing. And
yeah, I wonder if the brewer at Dancing Gnome just like reached out to them and was like, we're a big fan. Can we name one of our next beers after your songs? And then it probably kind of like cascaded from there.
Yeah, it's cool because the first time they were here, they did. And again, I wasn't a fan, or I just didn't know of them at this time. And I wish I did. They did like a little acoustic set at Dancing Gnome. Like that would have been really awesome to have seen. And I know the guys send them care packages. The Dancing Gnome guys send them care packages of beer and stuff. That's like awesome. That. And like knew, like they were all wearing Dancing Gnome hats at the show. and even in some of their music videos and stuff like that, you'll see at least one of the guys wearing a Dancing Gnome hat. So it's pretty cool. It's definitely cool to see that sort of, you know, local flavor just mixed into a band that we all really enjoy.
Yeah, no, we hopefully we can get a collaboration going with Dancing Gnome too.
The joke's probably actually on us, and they probably do that with a local brewery in every city that they go to and just don't tell anyone. And it's
I hope not.
No, I'm just kidding, but
you're all special.
Well, they were wearing like a Pennsylvania or like a Pittsburgh shirt or something at the show that
Sheetz.
They bought at Sheetz. Yeah, that was funny. They talked about Sheetz hot dogs for like 5 minutes before they started the show, which was funny.
I think that Pittsburgh is special to them. Maybe not, but I'm just going to tell myself
I think that's kind of evident too by the fact that there wasn't a Pittsburgh date on this tour. True. And I think enough people, myself included, expressed, you know, how upset they were by that, to the point where they added a show and we ended up being the first stop on the tour, probably why we had access to all that vinyl. But that was kind of cool to see. And, you know, it was short notice. So obviously we did not sell out the Hard Rock, but we probably could have if we had a little more notice. But still a pretty solid crowd for, you know, 3 weeks notice before a show. So,
yeah. I thought it was a pretty good turnout. I mean, at first it seemed like when we went in there, there was like two other groups like eating.
Yeah.
And it's like, ooh.
We got there pretty early. Technically, the show, the doors were an hour after we got there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Hard Rock. So we got a table and we ordered food and beers and we were actually like right next to the stage. And you know, the guys were still setting up and sound checking and stuff like that. So, I mean, which was also kind of a cool experience to be able to, you know, be that close to the stage, watch all that. I mean, smaller bands, smaller shows, that's pretty typical. But for a band that we covet to the degree that we do, it was kind of cool to see that. But yeah, we haven't really talked much about the show here. It's been mostly about Delta, you know, just the band. So let's get into that a little bit. So the set was pretty sweet. It was a solid mix of, you know, some older stuff, some stuff honestly that I hadn't really listened to all that much, stuff off their like management EP. And you know, they played Spy Dolphin, which was cool. They played a good bit off of Spring Island, which was awesome, because how much I really like that record personally.
Yeah. I thought it was a really good mix too. They had kind of a little bit from everything, and the way they mixed it in too is like they didn't just play through all of Spring Island and then, you know, pepper in older songs later. They kind of mixed it up and hopped back and forth, and so I thought it was a good mix and a fun show. They did have the issue with the pedal board.
Yeah, so apparently they left all of their gear with somebody in the area or something like that.
I believe that's what they said. Yeah.
Yeah. So like all of their gear they left here, at least for like touring the US. I'm sure they had it because they still do shows over in the UK and, you know, Europe and stuff like that. So they did leave gear here apparently. And so this was the first time they were setting up with that gear. And since the last time they toured the US pre-COVID, so it's been a while. And Devin, the lead singer and guitarist, his pedal board was not functioning. They ended a song in the middle of it. I don't remember what song it was. And then he ended up going just straight through the amp the rest of the show. I think he did switch back to the pedal board at some point, just saying, you know, screw it, we're just going to do what we can. But yeah, that was definitely interesting.
Yeah, and it was funny when they stopped because the Blake, their drummer, he didn't have a drum, like a rug underneath, so his drum kit kept shifting the whole show, and he was just like making do. And then when Devin like paused, was like, "Can we start over?" And Blake like ribbed him and was like, "Oh, my drum set's been sliding all over the place, and I haven't asked for a redo." I thought that was pretty funny.
No, that was funny. I mean, they definitely, you know, they handled those hiccups like seasoned veterans, mm-hmm. obviously. So, honestly, I don't know if I would have noticed the pedal board stuff. Maybe a little bit, because like they do some effects and stuff like that in some of their songs. But I mean, even once he went straight through the amp without a lot of those effects, I mean, everything still sounded great.
Yeah, it still sounded really good. And to just kind of talk about, it's probably pretty evident that I just really appreciate the crowds that listen to this kind of music, because I talk about it a lot, but I couldn't even imagine if something like that would happen to like a more quote unquote, like popular band. I put popular in air quotes, because no one can see me. But, you know, I feel like something like that would be all over the internet, would be like, oh my gosh, can you imagine they messed up so bad? And, you know, this, I mean, I guess we're talking about it now, but not, you know, not in a bad way. I don't think that any of us are saying, oh my goodness, I can't believe that that happened. It's just, you know, something that happened and they made do with it, and they still put on an awesome show, which I think is really impressive. And, you know, just the patience that the crowd had with that and stuff is really impressive.
So not to bring this up again, but the feeling that I got from this show, and I kind of stated this a little bit on social media at some point, but it's been a long time since I've seen like a favorite band of mine for the first time. So I kind of go back to what it was like seeing Coheed and Cambria for the first time, or what it was like seeing Between the Buried and Me for the first time, or what it was like seeing The Contortionist for the first time, bands that I like hold in such high regard. But crowd wise, it really made me feel like I was at a Coheed show, in the sense of like the way that like community is or whatever. It seems like, you know, everybody's singing the songs and everybody's like really into it. And you know, they even mentioned like, wow, I've never seen like a mosh pit for the song Camp Adventure, which if you've ever heard that song, it's a very like emotional-ish song. And they do have like a stripped down acoustic version, which is actually my favorite version of that song from their Soft Sounds record. But there was a mosh pit for that song, and they were like, that might be the first time that's ever happened. But everybody was just so into it, and like arms around each other and singing, that like definitely people that I've never met before. Like it was just cool to see that the only time I've ever seen that really is at like a Coheed show during like In Keeping Secrets or something like that, where people are just like, you know, arms around each other singing at the top of their lungs, just like almost looks like they're just crying and into the music. Like it was cool to see that. And that, again, I haven't had that feeling at a show in a really long time. So that was cool.
Yeah, I think the only time I've ever had that experience outside of this show was the Between the Buried and Me, when they did the Queen cover.
Oh, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah, and everybody like put their arms around each other and just kind of like swayed side to side and was singing along and stuff. That was kind of it felt like one of those type of moments.
Yeah.
That, you know, people moshing to a song that's like not really a moshing song.
Yeah.
And especially also the venue being Hard Rock was also not a venue I would think that people would be moshing in. I don't know, something about that just all seemed like off. But
I never really thought that Delta Sleep would be a band that anyone would mosh to, period. I mean, it wasn't like, obviously, it's not like your hardcore, like, slam dance type of thing. It was more people just like jumping up and down, slightly pushing each other and like singing at the same time. Like it wasn't like, you know, a mosh pit, air quotes as well, since no one can see me. But no, I mean, everybody was really into it. It was a small venue, but it felt bigger because of like how into the music everybody was and just how sort of together it felt with everyone. So it was very cool. Very cool.
I mean, what more could you ask for than moshing and eating chicken tenders at the same time?
I know. It's funny. The last time we went to a show where there was food was when we went to that Interval show,
December of last year.
The bands kept pointing that out too. They were just like, how's everyone's food? Like, but it seemed like they were kind of sarcastic about it. Like they weren't happy that, you know, that was possible at a show.
Yeah.
Where, you know, at the Hard Rock, nobody mentioned it. Everyone's just like, I don't know. I don't know why that felt weird to me, but it felt weird seeing a metal show at Jurgles, which was the venue where, you know, we were eating chicken wings and watching Intervals. Yeah. But it didn't feel weird at the Hard Rock that was a thing. I don't know why. Maybe because the separation was slightly different. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know. It definitely seemed different, and maybe it's all because of like the more like it was like a smaller venue and it was like a more of a cozy atmosphere, whereas like Jurgles is much bigger. It's two floors and everyone felt spread out. So maybe it's just like it didn't give them the energy from the crowd because, you know, half of us were upstairs eating and staring down at them from the ceiling.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, anytime I can listen to some good music and eat some mozzarella sticks, that sounds like a perfect night to me. Oh, and sitting down, too.
Yeah, sitting down. I mean, in our older age here.
God,
you know,
we're
that's...
so old.
Yeah, no. we were not in the mosh pit. We were all way too old for that. But we were sitting on the side eating our chicken salads, nice and healthy, you know.
I was looking at the mosh pit, like, just having flashbacks to my younger days, though. So that did happen.
While holding on to your walker in the corner.
I never mosh, personally.
Back in my day.
All these young kids and their loud rock music.
But no, honestly... everything about the show, everything about the set, they played pretty much all my favorite songs. Camp Adventure is one of my favorite songs, period. Spy Dolphin is obviously the song that got me into them. Softest Touch was probably my favorite song off of Spring Island, and they played that. It was cool to see them play Old Soul as well, which is... I didn't like that song that much at first, and now I feel like that's one of the ones I go to.
Oh, I love that song, yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, overall... that was a very great set for me personally, just based on all the songs that I really like by them. So yeah, it was everything I wanted and more, because I also had a chicken sandwich.
Yeah, it was an awesome show. And, you know, best of all, Dan shared his fries with us. So.
I did. I am generous. Everybody remember that. I am a generous man. But yeah, so I guess on that note, you
French
know,
fries.
we'll end on the French fry note, unless anybody has anything else they want to say.
No, I think I agree with your sentiment that the show was kind of everything I expected and more. It was cool seeing them live, you know, just being a relatively new fan, getting to see them was really cool and it was exciting. And yeah, I hope they come back again soon.
Yeah, and if anyone, you know, happens to be listening to this who maybe isn't really too into progressive rock or metal, I don't know why you'd be listening to this if you weren't. But, you know, just in case, I would highly recommend Cara Cara and Delta Sleep. I think those are both really good bands that even if you think, you know, you're not really too into them, too into that kind of music, and Anton Ego as well. I would recommend, you know, taking a listen. I think it's all really accessible music, like I said, for anyone. And I just want to thank Matt and Dan for letting me third wheel at the concert and allowing me to come on your podcast again. It's been a lot of fun.
I was waiting for the third wheel comment. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming.
She always does.
As I say every time she says that, every wheel is important. All right. So, you know, we are a tricycle in this situation. So without that third wheel, we'd tumble over. So. But,
can't forget about Steph. We're a car when she's here.
Yeah, we are a full-fledged car when she's here. Four-wheel drive, you know, it's great.
We need all the wheels.
But yeah, so on that note, we'll go ahead and end here. Thank you again, everybody, for listening to us. And make sure you follow us on social media. We just hit 100 followers on Instagram. You know, that's not a lot, I guess, but that's the first milestone for us. So we're happy and thank you everybody for following us. And we're hoping to continue to grow. Make sure you, if you're listening to this, give us a rating, whatever you feel we deserve. It's fine. Obviously, we would prefer 5 stars, but you know.
Yes, please, 5 stars.
we'll take whatever we can get at this point. And
don't sell yourself short. 5 stars all the way.
But again, thank you so much for listening to us, and be on the lookout. We'll have another episode coming soon. Thanks again.
Thanks.
Bye.